Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Schmidman, and I'm thrilled that you are part of this program. To mark the completion of Sifrei Nevi'im, we are creating a Siyum scroll, an online place to recognize your accomplishment, as well as hosting several live events. Please check out the details at ou.org/women/Siyum. Again, ou.org/women/Siyum. Mazel tov on this meaningful accomplishment and much continued hatzlacha on your future learning. Please consider donating to support this valuable programming at ou.org/women/donate. And now to today's perek.
Hello, my name is Marcy Stern. Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Sefer Malachi Perek Aleph, Chapter 1, which is the Haftorah for Parshas Toldos and Sefer Bereishis. Both Sefer Chagai and Sefer Scharia that we just completed tell us in their opening pasuk that they took place in the second year of Daryavesh, meaning that these two Nevi'im lived at the same time, and it was at the time of the building of the second Beit HaMikdash. Sefer Malachi has no such historical introduction, as it begins, verse 1, Pasuk Aleph, Masa Dvar Hashem El Yisrael Biyad Malachi, the prophecy of the words of Hashem to Yisrael by Malachi. Malachi lived during the same time period of Bayis Sheni, the second temple, but Radak says was Manabe after the building had been completed. Malachi was the last of those three Nevi'im, and in fact, the final Navi that we have in recorded Tanakh. He is called Chotem HaNevu'ah, the sealer of prophecy. It is a bit daunting to think that we are about to learn together in these last three Prakim of Malachi, the last words of prophecy given to the Jewish people. According to the Targum Yonasan and the Meiri, Malachi was Ezra. Radak disagrees, since Ezra in Tanakh is called Ezra HaSofer, Ezra the Scribe. If he were indeed a Navi, would he not have been called Ezra HaNavi? Chazal have the opinion that there was indeed a person named Malachi. As we will see in Mirtz Hashem, he is sent to give Musar to those who came up from Bavel and were steeped in serious misdeeds that needed guidance and direction. Malachi was that Malach Hashem, the messenger of Hashem. Perek Aleph, chapter 1, begins with a simply put and beautiful four-word declaration of Hashem to Bnei Yisrael. Pasuk Bet, Ahavti etchem, Amar Hashem. I have loved you, says Hashem. No other sefer begins with such a heartfelt words. What more can we, Hashem's nation, want to hear? What more could a child want to hear from his parent? Yet, just like a parent senses when his child doubts his love, the Nevuah continues by mimicking what the Navi knows is the mindset of the people. Va'amartem, b'ma ahavtanu. How have you loved us? How do we know that this love is for us, and not just because of your love for the Avos, the forefathers and the foremothers? Abarbanel says, they needed proof that Hashem had a particular love for them. Hashem responds, Halo Ach Esav LeYaakov? Was not Esav the brother of Yaakov? Esav and Yaakov both were the children of Rivka and Yitzchak. And yet, Hashem says in the Pasuk, Va'ohav et Yaakov, I loved Yaakov. I chose to love the children from Yaakov. And so this love is not because of the schus avot, the merit of the forefathers and mothers, but my love for you. Ve'et Esav saneti, and Esav I didn't love. I hated. Why? The Radak explains. Lefi ma'asav u'ma'asei zar'o acharav, because of Esav's deeds and the deeds of his children, lo ratziti sheyechalku im achiv. I didn't want him to share land with his brother, Yaakov, Be'eretz Canaan, living in Canaan. V'natati lo Yerushat Har Seir, and so I gave him the mountain of Seir. Ulazaro acharav, and for his children. Uchashehirbu lahara liYisrael, and when they started doing so much bad to Bnei Yisrael, v'samchu b'churbanav, listen to that, and they were happy at our destruction, uvagalutam, and their exile, sneitim. That's when I hated them. Once having established his love for Bnei Yisrael, Hashem shifts the focus and lambasts the Kohanim and the nation over their attitudes and practices when bringing karbanos in the Beit HaMikdash. The first psukim, it seems to me, want to establish firmly his love for his people before giving them musr, giving them rebuke. Hashem wants it to be clear that he is like the father that admonishes his children out of love. The Navi opens the next section with Pasuk Vav, verse 6, with a mashal, a comparison. Ben Yechaved Av, Ve'eved Adonav. A son will honor his father, a slave his master. Ve'im Avani Ayek Fodi. If I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? After describing the special love Hashem has for Bnei Yisrael, they're rebuked for not reciprocating this love. It is a universal given that a son should honor his father or a slave his master. But not only are they not honoring Hashem, they are acting quite the opposite, as Pasuk Vav, verse 6, continues. Hakohanim bozei shmi. The Kohanim disgrace my name. I expect kavod. You only act with bizoyon, scorn. Va'amartem, b'meh bazinu et shmecha. The Navi says, I know you will respond by saying, how have we scorned you? The Navi makes their error quite clear. Pasuk Zion, verse 7. Magishim al mizbechi. Lechem Megoal, you present on my Mizbeach, on my altar, loathsome food, unfit food. Va'amartem, Bameh Ge'alnucha. You say, how have we loathed you? Be'emorchem Shulchan Hashem Nivzahu. By saying, the table of Hashem, the Mizbeach, is repulsive. Well, what makes these words so astounding is that in the second Beit HaMikdash, so much of the ritual was missing, as we learned in Sefer Chagai, that there were five things that were removed from the second Beit HaMikdash that were there in the first: the Urim V'Tumim, the breastplate, the Aron, the Shekhinah, God's concentrated presence, Ruach HaKodesh, and the fire that used to come down in the first Beit HaMikdash and burn up the Korban. These were missing. Hashem says he will find honor in the temple anyways. Erzebo v'echabdach, Haggai said. What they had left was the avoda of the Korbanos, the service of the sacrifices. How could they not treat the avoda with its proper respect? We would expect them to cherish it. Note that is the Kohanim that are being blamed here. The Kohanim who are supposed to be the teachers of the nation, the ones who are supposed to help the nation appropriately bring their kabanos to the bayit of Hashem, to the house of Hashem. What do the psukim mean when they accuse them of saying about the table of Hashem that it is repulsive, or bringing loathsome bread on the Mizbeach? According to Rashi, the Kohanim complained that each meat or flour offering the Kohanim were allowed to eat from had to be divided each time amongst all the Kohanim of the day's service. In the end, they would get a small piece of food. They found this torach va'amal, burdensome and heavy toil, for little results. To the Maharikra, the Kohanim are complaining that the lechem hapanim, the 12 loaves of bread that stayed fresh, that the El Kohanim were allowed to eat at the end of the week, also involved much effort, only to receive very little in return. The Mari Cross says, and I quote, his words are incredible, they were satisfied, they were satiated from this food. But they degraded it. Shulchan Hashem nivzehu. The Shulchan of Hashem repugnant. Al she'amru mali la'avod kol ha'shavua b'schar zeh. Because they said, why should I work all week for this? Shemagia lechalki milechem hapanim kezayit or kapul? What I should get from the lechem hapanim, from the 12 loaves, a little bit, maybe a kezayis, or the something the size of a pea or a bean? Bedvar davar mu'at kazeh eini nichnas ba'avodat beit hamikdash. For such small return, should I work in the Beis HaMikdash? The Kohanim felt that it was not worth their effort, even though they were satiated. Unreal. Radak and Mitzudat David explained the Pasuk in a different vein. The Mizbeach was repulsive to them, Mitzudat David says, Ki nizrak alav hadam v'niktar alav hachelev, because the blood of the korban was sprinkled on the Mizbeach, and the chalev and the fat was thrown on the Mizbeach. Shenafsho shaladam katzeh. And these are things that are very unpleasing to a man. Radak adds that they found it repulsive to throw the innards of an animal on a Mizbeach. He helps us understand their shortcomings by saying, She'enam misimim elibam lama tziva hakel yitbarach lahakriv dam chalavim. The Kohanim didn't try to fully comprehend the spiritual significance of the Karbanos, and so were disdaining of its details. They didn't see beyond these details into the deep understanding of God that was part and parcel of this avodah, this service in the Beit HaMikdash. The words of Haggai, when encouraging the nation to build the second Beit HaMikdash, come to mind. In Perek Bet, Pasuk Ted Vav, chapter 2 in Haggai, he says, Va'ata simu na levavchem min hayom hazeh v'mala beheichal Hashem. Pay attention now from this day forward to what is going on in the heichal, in the sanctuary. We pointed out the explanation of the Malbim then, and it's certainly apropos to point out it now. He says, Sheyishtadlu shehalev yimatzei beheichal. It was important for them to have their heart in the Beit HaMikdash. That comes from the word simuna levavchem. Rotzeh lomar, the Malbim says, Shelo yiyeh habinyan va'avodat hamikdash ach pu'ulat haguf. It was not right to have the building of the second Beit HaMikdash be just a physical action. Rak shehiyeh ma'aseh halev hanefesh. It was meant to be a deed that involved their hearts and their souls. Once the Kohanim found the Mizbeach repulsive, they felt that they could bring Lechem Megu'al. In Pasukhet, verse 8, the Navi fills us in on what some of the Lechem Megu'al, the loathsome karbanos that were brought on the Mizbeach were. Pasukhet. V'pchi tagishun iver lizboach ein ra. When you present a blind animal for a sacrifice, is nothing wrong? V'chi tagishu piseach v'chole ein ra. Or when you present a lame or sick animal, Is nothing wrong? Hakrivehu na lefechatecha, presented to your governor, hayirtzecha, o hayisa panecha, amar Hashem Svakot, would he be pleased and show you favor? Would you bring the sick and maimed animal to your pachat, to the governor? So were the names of the leaders of Persia in those days. Would you bring him, or would you bring him the finest and the best you could afford? At the end of the perek, the psukim make clear that Bnei Yisrael could have brought better animals, but did not. The desire to be mechabed Hashem, to honor Hashem, was missing. They were satisfied with doing the minimum, not going the extra mile. It is fascinating that there is a stark contrast between two words in our perek, kavod, honor, and the forms of the word bizayon, disdain, shame, disgrace. Hashem expects to be honored by his loved and special son, Bnei Yisrael. Bein yechabed av, ayek vodi, a son should honor his father. Where is my honor? But he is repaid by disdain. Hakohanim bozei shmi, the Kohanim are disdaining of my name. Shulchan Hashem nivzehu, the Mizbeach is repulsive. Vinivo nivzeh achlo, and his description of the avoda is that the korban and the food is repulsive. Having just learned Chagai and Zecharia together, we know that the word kavod played a central role in their nevuos about building and sustaining the second Beit HaMikdash. In Chagai, Erze bo ve'echabda, he says in Perek Aleph, I will love it and I will find honor in it, despite its lackings. Umileti et habayit hazeh kavod, and I will fill this second house with honor, he says in Perek Bet. Gadol yiyek vod bayit hazeh acharon min harishon. This latter temple will be even greater in its honor than the first temple. The point of the Mishkan and the Beit HaMikdash was Hashras HaShchina, the presence of Hashem Shchina in our midst. When the Mishkan was set up, the Pasuk says in Shmos, Uchvod Hashem mileyet HaMishkan, and the honor of Hashem fills the Mishkan. Kavod habayit hu pe'ero haruchani v'hagashmi ke'echad. The kavod of the Beit HaMikdash was its grandeur, yes, physical, but also spiritual. The potential of the second bayit was tremendous. The kavod that would speak to Hashem's greatness could be outstanding. Zecharia goes one step further and says, Ulechavod eheyeh betocha, I will be in her midst, in the Beit HaMikdash midst, and I will bring honor. Rashi says, I will be in her midst, I will bring my Shechina, lichvodchem. I will have honor, but it will be for your honor. We are to work to assure that Hashem's kavod has a place in this world. He works thereby to bring kavod to us. The problem in our parak is that Bnei Yisrael and the Kohanim are ignoring the kavod of Hashem. Not only are they not showing him the appropriate honor and respect due him, but they are dishonoring his house and his service to the point that it leads to a chilul Hashem. As the pasuk says, pasuk yudbet, va'atem mechalalim oto, you are causing him to be profaned. Does it not follow then that if Hashem finds kavod in his house, and thereby we get kavod, that if we are mevaza and disdain Hashem, then we in the end will be disdained? The parak began with Hashem expressing his love for Bnei Yisrael. The Navi needs the Kohanim and the nation to understand that they should reciprocate that love and show gratitude to him by following his ways, particularly in his own house, in the walls of the Beit HaMikdash. They had yet learned to internalize the lessons of the Mikdash. Instead, they are stripping the avoda, the service, of its essence and its meaning. They are devoiding it of its potential to bring glory to Hashem and thereby to his people. Do we at times lack the passion and zeal to do the mitzvahs of Hashem and bring kavod and honor to him and to ourselves? Do we at times try to do the minimum of what is required of us with no desire to go that extra mile? Thanks for studying together today. Le'iloi Nishmat, Malka Esther, Batzvi Yosef.